Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. So like many of you, I have trouble sleeping. I have insomnia. No matter what I tried, it wouldn't work until I met Mike Lindell and I got my very own MyPillow. It has changed my life. What makes MyPillow so different is MyPillow's patented adjustable fill. In other words, you can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual needs so you get the support you need and want to help you get to sleep faster and stay asleep longer. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-919-6090. Remember, use the promo code Hannity. When you do, Mike Lindell will give you his best offer ever. Buy one pillow and get another one absolutely free. MyPillow, made in the USA, 10-year unconditional warranty, and it has a 60-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. So it's time for you to start getting the quality of sleep that you've been wanting and we need. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Promo code Hannity. Take advantage of Mike's special two-for-one offer. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. Yeah, it was great until we had another terror attack, at least attempt today, in New York. And we've got some other new information regarding this. This is just breaking. The Department of Homeland Security can confirm now that the suspect was admitted to the United States after presenting a passport displaying an F-43 family immigrant visa in 2011, and the suspect is a lawful permanent resident from Bangladesh who benefited from the extended family chain migration. Oh, keeps coming up again and again and again. And, you know, if we get more information on this, we will let you know. Look, it's very hard. I know that when we'll play some reports later in the program, and I know it's hard if you don't live in New York City to understand that this is a city that transports largely underground. Now, you wouldn't know it if you ever sat in traffic in the city itself. You would think, oh, most people must be up here because you can't move. You can't budge. And especially during the Christmas season, because so many people come to New York and they want to see the tree and they want to see the skating rink and they want to stop by Fox News and what, you know, find the EIB building. That was always a fun story. Remember James Golden would tell us people would actually come to New York in the early days when Rush launched his syndicated show. And they'd be like, can you tell us point to where the EIB building is? Well, there really wasn't an EIB building except the building that Rush broadcast from. There was a building. I know where he broadcast from. It was actually 2 Penn Plaza at the time, which was funny. That's very funny. Did I ever tell you this? A quick digression. So when I first came in 96 to do Fox, I got hired by the ex-wife over the other radio station, and I did 11 to 2 in the morning. And I couldn't believe that Rush's lines would ring all day and night. And then I would sometimes start, welcome to the EIB network. This is how Rush Bow. And I would do it. And I'd put, and then Kit Carson got really mad at me. And I'm like, kid, I didn't mean any harm. I was just kind of having a little fun. And I'd put, hey, Rush, mega dittos. It was hilarious. It was really fun that we did that. But with that, Kit put a pretty quick end to all that. And we love Kit, and we miss him dearly, too. He was a great guy. Anyway, so let me not digress. But you don't understand that the whole city is pretty much underground. And for a lot of people, if you don't live in a city like this, you're like trying to understand. So at 7:20 in the morning, when something like what happened this morning happens, it is total chaos for anybody that's trying to get to work on time. We literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are in the varying subways all around town trying to get to work. And it happened at a very highly trafficked area, the subway corridor near Times Square. If you've ever been to New York, that's where the ball drops on New Year's Eve. That's where it looks like Disney at night with all the lights up. You know, one thing people should do is go back. When I was a kid growing up in Long Island, I would go into New York City occasionally, and it's nothing like it was. It used to be bad. I mean, it was all, you know, X-rated movies, peep shows. It was like a decadent Sodom and Gomorrah. And the person that cleaned it all up was Rudy Giuliani. And it remains clean today, not to the extent it was. You still have some dangers there. I don't want to scare people that are coming, but there are a lot of dangers. Anyway, so a crude pipe bomb was strapped to this guy, apparently inspired by the Islamic State group ISIS went off in this crowded subway corridor near Times Square. He got injured. Three others were slightly injured. It snarled this rush hour commuter traffic now for hundreds of thousands of people trying to get to work. There is a surveillance camera that captured the man walking casually through the crowded passageway when the bomb suddenly went off at 7:20 a.m. amid a plume of white smoke. And it was cleared to show that the man was sprawling on the ground and commuters were fleeing in terror. And investigators said it was not clear if the bomb was set off intentionally or went off prematurely. But by the sounds of it, it sounds like it could have been a lot worse in every way, shape, manner, and form. So it's a little scary. What frustrates me is, as somebody that believes, you know, anytime we find out, oh, it's related to our immigration policies, chain migration in this particular case, it just makes me say, why would anyone oppose making the country safer and vetting people who come here and knowing who people are, and that you just don't get in because my great-great-great-great-great-great-great dead uncle used to live there? And it really is that bad. But you now have the New York City's been hit by three successful terrorist attacks since Comrade de Blasio, its mayor, ended the terrorist surveillance program in New York. Now, there was a Daily Mail piece that reminds us that ISIS had warned of a Christmas attack on New York City 2 weeks ago, and ISIS issued that attack on New York City, complete with a graphic of a Santa terrorist bomber staring right into Times Square. Mere coincidence? I don't know. Is it always going to be a big target? Absolutely. You know, and the scariest thing is, and I think it's something we're going to have to get a hold of, every single time almost this happens, we find out things. And what do we find out? We find out that usually the people involved in this have a long track record of telegraphing their radical views, and we don't pick it up. In other words, they're putting it all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over Instagram, all over social media. And then we find out, oh, it seems like so-and-so knew and was telegraphing his sympathies for ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Hamas and all these radical groups. We just never picked up on it. And my question is, why don't we ever pick up on these things? That's something that I think needs to be answered. All right, we got a lot going on. We have the most corrupt media, I think, that has ever existed in our lifetime right now. And this is not hyperbole on my part. This is just factual information. I just have never seen a media this corrupt. Later in the program, we'll have Joe Concha. And he said, the past 2 weeks were two of the worst ever for American political media, all thanks to a rush to be first that easily trumped the priority of being accurate. It's even deeper than that to me. If you had any doubt about media bias, look where we are with the media today. You know, look at Brian Ross. Look at the Deutsche Bank. Robert Mueller is subpoenaing information from Deutsche Bank on Trump and his family. That means he's getting close. Or Flynn says he lied to the FBI. That means that Flynn is flipped. Flynn is going to flip on Trump and he's going to do something. That's just total speculation and that people don't know about. Or WikiLeaks reporting that, you know, senior Trump campaign officials, Donald Trump himself, received an email from some unknown sender September the 4th, and it linked to what could have been the unreleased WikiLeaks documents. And then they find out it was September 14th when it had already been released. Another, oops, black eye on the media's head. Shouldn't surprise anybody. You know, I think what we're looking at here, you have these networks. They call themselves news outlets. It's beyond an information crisis. They are just propaganda arms and an extension of the Democratic Party. And it's now at the point that it's so egregious, so transparent, so damaging that the American people, you know, now, as the president said over the weekend, it's a stain on America. The thing that's missing here is a desire to find the truth. You know, we'll talk to Sean Spicer about this tonight. He had to deal with all these idiots every day for however long. But I've been saying now since 2007 that journalism in America is dead. Media is dead. And what I mean by that is they're so abusively biased. And you have the fake news, liberal, destroy Trump, mainstream media. You know, they literally hyperventilate It's like effervescence coming out of them, bubbling and fizzing like Alka-Seltzer and water when they think, I got them. We got them right now. This is it. And there's a breathless hysteria every time they think they've got a little nugget that moves them just a hair closer to getting this president out of office. That is what they do. And forget the facts. You know, here's a big story. James Comey had the fix in as it relates to Hillary Clinton. And Peter Strzok had the fix in. And they wrote her exoneration on the email server scandal before they ever did an investigation. Is that worthy of news? I think that's newsworthy. Where's the charges of James Comey? Or the fact of everyone saying this weekend, this is outrageous. Look at Hannity, Fox News. They're trying to delegitimize the special counsel. All right, let's flip the cards for a second. Let's say Hillary's president. Let's say you bring in a special counsel, and he only, of the 16 people he brings in, 8 of them are big donors to Donald Trump and Republicans and George W. Bush, but no donors to Hillary Clinton on the other side of it. Then let's figure out that some of the people involved in every aspect of the investigation, that would be this guy, you know, what's his name, Strzok. He was involved in interviewing Cheryl Mills, Uma Abedin. He's the one that changed the wording from gross negligence to extreme carelessness to get the legal definition out of the exoneration of Hillary before the investigation that he co-authored with his buddy Jim Comey. I mean, that to me is obstruction of justice. And then he interviews Flynn, and then he interviews Hillary, then he interviews all of Hillary's friends, and the only one that gets caught lying to the FBI is the Trump guy. Well, that seems a little bit odd. And then you hire a guy, Andrew Weissman. Let's see, he destroyed, what, up to 85,000 jobs after he falsely went after a company, Arthur Anderson Accounting, 85,000 jobs lost by some estimates. And then he goes out there and goes after Merrill Lynch and their Enron deal, and Merrill Lynch employees go to jail for almost a year. And then you find out, oh, never mind. You have a Supreme Court decision in the one case, 9-0, overturning the obstruction of justice. Then you got a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, same thing. And you got Weissman, who withheld exculpatory evidence that would have helped the defendants. Who acts that way? That's unethical. You got examples of Andrew Weissman making up crimes. This is Mueller's team. And people saying that, well, what Hannity's doing is disgusting. You know what is? You know what's disgusting? How lazy people in this industry are. You know, I was going to take to Twitter over the weekend and really rip a few of these, you know, these people that work at conspiracy theory TV, MSNBC or fake news CNN. And you know what I figured? They're not worth. Why should I have to educate them and do their job for them? They are dumb. They are overpaid. They are extraordinarily lazy. And if you really get to the heart and soul, a lot of these, quote, Republicans that get hired by MSNBC, all they have done is they have sold their souls for a paycheck. It doesn't matter how extreme their counterparts on their channel are. Just by being a little less extreme, they can be called a Republican. And it's just nonstop. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. We're loaded up today. A lot of news to get to. We'll talk about the media. We'll talk more about the double standard. We're going to get to the bottom of what happened in this case in Times Square today. And we have Greg Jarrett and Sidney Powell will break down exactly what the media is missing. You know, there are not many memories that top the excitement waking up Christmas morning. Well, now that we're a little bit older, well, you can still capture a piece of that joy and surprise everyone on your Christmas list with peppermint roses to make their home festive and bright thanks to 1-800-Flowers.com. And right now, when you order 12 peppermint roses for $29.99, well, 1-800-Flowers will give you an extra half dozen roses and a vase absolutely free. That's up to 40% off the original price. Peppermint, Christmas, roses, well, it's perfect for the holiday surprise on anybody on your list. 12 peppermint roses, only $29.99, plus another half dozen roses and a vase for free in an unbelievable deal. When it comes to life's most important holiday moments, trust 1-800-Flowers.com. And to order 12 peppermint roses for $29.99, plus another half dozen roses and a vase for free, 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio icon, enter My Last Name Hannity. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, My Last Name Hannity. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SHAWN. You know what happened, what we told you about Friday, fake news CNN, I mean, You see the breathlessness of the coverage every day, the hysteria with any new little factoid, and the race to get it out there breathlessly reporting on a story. This happened a number of times last week where they just utterly and completely, and I got to argue it, on some level, I think it's just anything that they can do to try and make Donald Trump look bad and contribute to a negative perception is what they're going to do. I mean, just look at how the media covers him every day. It's 24/7, I hate Trump. 24/7, stop Trump. You know, the names he's been called, from liar to, I can't even go through them all. Been called every name and then some. And Friday, fake news, CNN, wall to wall, breathlessly reporting their next nugget that turns out to be a big fat lie, falsely claiming that Donald Trump Jr. received an email. The email was received on September the 4th, 2016. It gave him special access to the hacked DNC emails that hadn't yet been released by WikiLeaks. One problem, as the day went on, turned out that, like other news that they breathlessly report, they got it wrong. The email that was sent, they didn't know who the sender was, to Donald Trump Jr. was actually dated September 14th. That's the day after WikiLeaks put out the DNC documents. But you had fake news hyping it and hyping it and hyping it and hyping it and hyping it as the big smoking gun about Trump-Russia collusion. And, you know, it claimed that they had it and then they didn't. You know, oh, but they say, but two sources verified. Well, maybe you need better sources besides whatever Democratic hacks you're dealing with on a regular basis that are feeding you information. And the same thing happened with Brian Ross over at ABC. He's no longer allowed to cover Trump. I think if you make it that anybody that's unfair to Trump on fake news CNN, that they'd go dark because that represents their entire lineup. I can't think of a single host on that network that is pro-Trump. The same thing on MSNBC. I can't think of. And, you know, it's funny because they go after Fox. I can tell you a ton of people on Fox that are not big Trump fans. You know, a ton of them. We have the Christmas party later tonight for the Fox News Channel. Shep Smith and I are giving the toast together. Do you think it's symbolic? Maybe we have different political views? Yeah, I think so. I saw Ebony Williams this weekend. I love Ebony. I love me and Shep. We get along great, you know, but there are people there that have tons of views that differ from mine. Believe me. Believe me. Forget about it. Quick break. Right back. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. You know, the other thing about the sheep news media is this, and this is important. It's like one of them reports fake news, then they start reporting each other's fake news. So as soon as, like, MSNBC reports something, or in the case of CNN on Friday, well, then comes MSNBC, and they just spread the fake news and join in the fun. And then the New York Times, the Washington Post, they don't do their own fact-checking. They're just a bunch of sheep that follow, and it's you can see this unfolding a lot if you ever look at Twitter, which I'm kind of spending less and less time on for a lot of different reasons. I mean, there's so much hate on there. I mean, it's just gotten to the point. It used to be fun, and I love starting fights, and I love fighting. I do. But then it's like, then you got all the trolls out there. Then you got people triggering their bot systems. Yeah, send this. It's just like Hannity tweets, send this. It's just ridiculous. So anyway. So the fake news story from Friday by fake news CNN, then it goes out there. Now, where's the chief of fake news, Jeff Zucker? I wonder if he's proud of his network today.
This is CNN.
By the way, Zucker's name keeps coming up in the sense that he was close to Matt Lauer. And he said, I didn't know anything about this. Well, now NBC is coming under heavy fire that they did know. And they knew a lot, and they knew a lot for a long period of time, and that they didn't do anything when they knew a lot. So I'll have to see what happens there. Anyway, Zucker sent his stenographer, Humpty Dumpty, out to try to clean up the mess this weekend. And instead of profusely apologizing like he should have, you know, he tries to use the network's complete and utter fake news failure, of course, to attack Donald Trump. Donald Trump's fault. It's Fox News' fault. They've literally got a team over there of Humpty Dumpty and Humpty Dumpty wannabes that suck. They actually suck up to Humpty Dumpty because their goal in life is to be Humpty Dumpty. And Humpty Dumpty in his mind thinks he's a primetime cable host and he deserves prime time. You can just see how hard he's working. So he thinks the way to get there is to be the most pro Jeff Zucker CNN stenographer he can be on any given day. And then all his little sycophants that work for him, that want to be him, that are hoping he gets in prime time too, because then they can take his weekend show. And it's these people, it's so transparent. It is so obvious. If it was Fox News making a mistake, I can tell you it would be days and days and days and days and weeks of coverage. It's pretty pathetic, even by fake news standards. And they're not alone. I mean, the Washington Post reporter, he was forced to apologize this weekend after tweeting out a misleading photo about the crowd crowd size at Donald Trump's rally. And it turned out the image was taken well before the president ever stepped on the stage. And when the president actually got on the stage, the place was packed. Anyway, then the president tweeted out, I guess the guy's name is Dave Weigel. They have a whole bunch of Washington Post people that apparently hate my guts. I don't even read it anymore. What was the other guy's name? No, not him. He's a media reporter over there. I forget. Friends with Humpty Dumpty. I'm not sure, but it's like if you watch these guys on social media, well, you tweet me and I'll tweet you. You retweet me, I'll retweet you. You tweet. Oh, yeah, Eric Pimple. That's guy. That's the one. Wemple Pimple. You know, I love all these media guys, and it's hilarious. Those that can't in media comment on those that can. And this guy, I'd love to see him host a TV show one day. That would be highly entertaining. Sort of like Alec Baldwin hosting a radio show. Alec Baldwin really, really wanted to host a show. I mean, this was serious. So one day, there's a buddy of mine out in California. He hosts a morning show out there, Brian Whitman, and he used to also be the ex-wife. Anyway, so one day, Brian Whitman brought in Alec Baldwin to audition for a talk show. Now, if you remember, years ago, Rush did a parody of what the Tom Daschle show would sound like. This is real. This is not make pretend.
That's interesting. Interesting.
No, play the whole thing.
When we come back, we have some time. Oh, great. We're going to. When can we take some calls, Ivan?
Whenever we want.
Do we have calls that are on there now?
No calls yet.
What number do people call to get on the air, Ivan? Do we have that number?
It's right there.
Oh, do I have the call number in front of me? Oh, I'm so sorry. That's interesting. Interesting. At 1210 at PHT. Of course, any other questions you have, any other comments you have, call us to the, what else? Call us, please, at 215-1210. Now, if you don't call, we're going to keep reading from the Scientology manual. You might not feel it. You might not feel the energy right now. You might not feel the swell of what's happening here. Do we have any calls yet there, Ivan? No calls. Let's read some more about Scientology. Is Sean Hannity a Scientologist? Alec Baldwin posing the big questions tonight here. Do we have any calls here yet, Ivan? None. Boy, it's just incredible. Unbelievable. Well, you leave us no choice, listeners.
That was real. That was him. So he does this one show, and then it bombed. He got so angry, he walked out of the middle of the show because the great one and I called up at the same time and went on the air with him. And so he sneaks into this other show. Now, apparently, Alec Baldwin, father of the year, is working on his own TV show after, quote, the success of his podcast. I never even knew he had a podcast. Anyway, he's been doing it apparently for, isn't NYC public radio in New York? I don't even know. Is it? Anyway, so he's going, here's the thing with Alec Baldwin. Here's the thing. He's an Emmy-winning actor, already hosts ABC television panel The Match Game, and is set to expand his relationship with ABC, and blah, 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 blah. All right, well, we might get some good material out of that every week. I'm kind of hoping. Jeff Sessions has spoken out. He said the following. He said, this Friday, the American people have a right to be concerned that Obama holdovers in the deep state are working against the Trump administration. I don't know what to glean from all of this. He says, I do feel the frustration, and I do think people have the right to be concerned, he said. He was on with Howie Carr in Boston. But often we're not able to do something the very day something hits the newspapers. We've got to work at it a little bit and make sure that we know what we're doing. In addressing reports of political bias within the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller's Russiagate investigation, well, Sessions told Carr, "I do feel responsible for this department to make sure that there's no double standard. We'll work to be worthy of the confidence I've been given." And the attorney general said the Justice Department is reviewing reports that Associate General Bruce Orr met with Trump dossier and author Christopher Steele during the presidential campaign, adding that Orr could be fired for that offense. We're going to go back and look at that. It's being looked at, and if it requires discipline, it will be carried out. Okay, does that mean Comey is going to be disciplined in some way? Any crime involved with him and Strzok putting the fix in for Hillary on the email server investigation? Are we going to take it a step further? Well, you know, what did Robert Mueller and Rosenstein and all these other people know about Putin having a network in the United States in 2009 involved in bribery, extortion, kickbacks, and money laundering, and what they did in the lead up to the CFIUS decision by Hillary and Eric Holder to give Vladimir Putin 20% of our uranium? We're going to look into that too. And then the money that flowed into the Clinton Foundation from the very people involved in that deal at varying times. We're going to look into that. Are we going to look into, you know, real collusion as it relates to the dossier that Hillary bought and paid for? Are we ever going to find out if a FISA warrant was issued based on those Russian propaganda lies? I mean, it seems like we're the only ones doing the work here at times. There are others. Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, John Solomon. There are a few others of us, you know, banging the drum every day here to try and get to the truth. It's not happening in the fake news media, I can tell you that. And I'll tell you another thing, they're all going to be proven wrong. They are all going to have to eat their words at a very high level. Just a matter of how much sand, how much dirt they're going to have to shove in there. But they'll be eating their words. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's say hi to Lucy in McKinney, Texas. Lucy, hi, how are you?
John, thank you so much for taking my call. I had a question for you, and you were actually just talking about our attorney general. My question is, what? None of this could have happened if Jeff Sessions had not recused himself.
That's correct. So this never would have happened.
Right. So what would have, how would this have manifested itself? Because everything that's being done now is all linked back to that, you know, to when Attorney General Sessions was being interviewed for his position. And I think it was even Al Franken that asked him the question that caused him to say that several times that he was going to recuse himself. So did the left know that he was going to do that? Or I'm just finding
I don't know, but I will tell you, this president needs a strong attorney general. He needs a strong attorney general at a time where we have what is an unprecedented assault on the executive branch in this country. Have no doubt in your mind. There are people working every day, and I've told you the list of enemies the president has. Yeah, Jeff Sessions is right. The deep state is an enemy of the president. So, too, is the Democratic Party. They want him out tomorrow. Let me tell you, the elections of 2018 are going to be very important. That's why Republicans showing weakness, not getting an agenda done. Well, it's hurting everybody. It's going to most hurt them at the polls, but it could hurt everybody. And it could hurt the country and send the country into a tailspin, if you want to know the truth. You know, they're going to put us through an impeachment hearing over nothing. Impeach 45. You know, the fact that we're not investigating the real things that need to be investigated, the surveillance, the unmasking, the leaking of raw intelligence, that needs to be leaked. The fix in on Hillary, that needs to be investigated with James Comey, the relationship with Comey and Rosenstein. Rosenstein thinks Mueller's doing a good job. We got to investigate Mueller's team that he's put together, a team of Hillary lovers and Trump haters, people with questionable ethics and failed records. I mean, we got to look at the Uranium One deal. Then we got to go back to the email server scandal if we're going to have equal justice under the law. We need a stronger attorney general than ever. You know, one of the most pivotal players in the Reagan years was Ed Meese, the attorney general. You know, in that time, The executive deputy was Mark Levin. People may not know that history. They fought every day in that office. Should hear some of the stories that I know. Unbelievable. Back to our phones as we say hi to Sean is in Sioux City, Iowa. How are you?
Hey, how's it going this afternoon, Sean?
What's going on? I'm sure I'll be out there, let's see, 2 or 3 years from now. Every election, we're out there.
Hey, well, that's fine. Welcome up. You guys are always welcome here. No problem.
What's going on?
Isn't it funny how kind of the Clown News Network always comes out and they say, you know, they have this big bombing, and thank God it only happened in the small portion. But then they all of a sudden they turn right around and they say, oh, President Trump, he drinks 12 Cokes, Diet Coke, and he watches 8 hours of TV a day. How does he get any work done?
Yep.
How is that even news? I mean, is it, am I missing something?
Look, they're just pathetic. The CNN does reports, well, Trump's guests get one scoop of ice cream and he gets two. And that's fake news, too. And look at this dog. The inner ear of the dog looks like a image of President Trump. It has an uncanny likeness.
Apparently, the president gets two scoops. You know, everyone around the table gets one. No word if there were sprinkles.
At the dessert course, he gets two scoops of vanilla ice cream with his chocolate cream pie instead of the single scoop for everyone else.
You know, CNN has botched 7 times this year in terms of reports. And this is supposed to be a news network. You'd think they'd fix their problems. But in their 7th blunder this year, that report on Friday. You know, that's the report. Donald Trump Jr., the Trump campaign received advanced access to stolen emails that were soon to be published by WikiLeaks. They must be tied into Julian Assange, who's really tied into the Russians. Although Julian Assange told Sean Hannity numerous times that it was not Russia that gave him the emails. Why doesn't Robert Mueller, if he's supposed to do a Trump-Russia investigation, why don't they go to the source, Julian Assange, and ask him? You think he would be the one person that knows, and he said he has the evidence, that he'd be willing to share. In his case, he wants to be able to leave the Ecuadorian embassy in Great Britain. Well, maybe if it gets us the truth and we get to move on as a country and work for the common men and women that need jobs, that are in poverty and out of work and food stamps, it would help. Anyway, so they botched the whole thing. The Daily Caller debunked the story. Then they tried to step all over themselves all through the day and night and weekend, you know, to say, we really didn't mess up. It was really Trump. Trump is far worse than we are. Let's blame Trump. It's always Trump's fault. The dog bites, the bee stings, you're feeling sad. It's Trump's fault.
You know, I don't get credit for one thing. It always bothered me. I spent a tiny fraction of what she spent in week one. You know, in the old days, if you spend less and you win, that's a good thing. Over here, you don't get any credit for it. We spent 25 or 30%. She was at, what number? 2.2 billion, I understand. 2.2 billion. Do you think those consultants made a couple of bucks on that election? Didn't she spend 12.4 million on a dossier that was a total phony? Right? 12.4 million? Boy. So we spent a tiny fraction, think of it, a tiny fraction of the money, and we won. But we won because of people like you.
That's right. We're actually correcting a story that we have been reporting throughout the day today about an email that was sent to the Trump campaign, to then-candidate Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and others during the heat of the campaign season. This email included a decryption key and also a link to where they could access some of these hacked WikiLeaks documents from the Democratic National Committee. Now, we've been reporting that this email came on September 4th. That was before some of these documents were publicly available. But we have just obtained a copy of this email. And instead, we now learn that this email was on September 14th. So that is 10 days later than what we originally reported earlier today. And this is appears to change the understanding of this story, because initially it seemed perhaps they were being offered access to documents that were not yet publicly available. But in this email from an individual named Michael Erickson, they do direct the Trump campaign to some publicly available documents, hacked documents from WikiLeaks, as well as from the former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, saying that those documents are indeed available. Now, our initial reporting on that September 4th date was based on two sources who had seen this email, but that information was incorrect now based on a copy of the email that we have obtained this afternoon. So, Brooke, it just shows that perhaps the initial understanding of what this email was perhaps is not as significant as what we know now based on this email.
Oops, more fake news. Shouldn't be a shock. Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. I don't think now it's every day pretty much the fake news industry, the Destroy Trump media, comes out with something wrong. The president, yeah, right, he didn't spend as much money as the Democrats or Hillary Clinton, but it was Hillary's campaign. They are the ones that paid Fusion GPS, that paid Christopher Steele for the phony, lying Russian propaganda dossier that was cited so often in the campaign. It was designed to pay for it so they could influence you, the American people, during the election and the lead up of the election. And it's something we need to pay attention to. Greg Jarrett has written a column saying Robert Mueller and his politically biased team of prosecutors need to go. We have gone through in great detail who these people are, Democratic donors. And we learned a lot last week about people like Peter Strzok, a guy that is sending texts that he loves Hillary, hates Donald Trump. And Peter Strzok is up to his eyeballs in everything, the Clinton email server scandal, the dossier. He's there interviewing Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin and Hillary Clinton and General Michael Flynn. And yet he's got a built-in bias, Andrew Weissman, you know, because of his tactics and unethical practices. Well, tens of thousands of people lost their jobs at Anderson Accounting when he was involved in that case with Enron. And then, of course, a number of Merrill Lynch executives went to jail. He had two decisions go against him that were massive. 9-0, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against him, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals showed he was wrong. He has a history of not passing on exculpatory evidence, making up laws, and other unethical behavior. Anyway, joining us to go through all of this, Greg Jarrett is with us, Fox News legal analyst, Sidney Powell, federal appellate attorney, former federal prosecutor, author of the book License to Lie. Thank you all. Let's start with you, Greg. I don't even know where to begin here, but between the media going off and telling one lie after another, breathlessly, hysterically, and then having to pull back day after day, and this team that Mueller has put together, I can't believe it's happening in our country.
Mueller sabotaged the credibility of his own investigation, and he has only himself to blame for what might have been a probe that was viewed with trust and confidence by the American people. But Mueller chose to assemble a team of incredibly biased people to go after Donald Trump to try to undo the election and remove the president. Look, there are plenty of qualified, skilled lawyers across America who do not have a political axe to grind. Mueller should have chosen them. Instead, he chooses people like Weissman, who was there celebrating the night Hillary Clinton was supposed to win
at the Javits Center
and was defeated. He hires Jeannie Rae, who once represented Hillary Clinton in her email scandal. And then, of course, Peter Strzok. Is Peter Strzok the only FBI agent in America? How is it possible that this one guy was the lead investigator in both the Comey investigation of Clinton and the Mueller investigation of Trump, with incredible now declared bias? The evidence is there, and he's been kicked off the case.
How do we get
and
this?
It's entirely possible that Strzok is the person who presented the FISA warrant to the FISA court.
Have we confirmed now that the FISA warrant, that they used the information that Hillary Clinton and Hillary's DNC, she was running it according to Donna Brazile, do we now know if that dossier for a certainty was used to get a warrant against Donald Trump, the candidate, and or Donald Trump, the president-elect, and maybe even as president? Do we know if that was used in that case?
Well, nobody's seen the FISA warrant application, at least nobody that I know of. But I think they've admitted to some extent that the dossier formed some sort of basis for it. Congressman Jordan's questioning of Christopher Wray the other day was very telling, mainly in what Mr. Wray would not answer. And one thing I'd like to point out, too, is that Mr. Wray was actually Weissman's supposed supervisor in the Department of Justice overseeing the Enron task force Moore's investigation after 2003, when Mr. Weissman sent the four Merrill Lynch executives to prison on an indictment that didn't even state a federal offense, while he hid the evidence that showed they were innocent.
You know,
I treated all of them.
I'm having a hard time because a lot of your book, License to Lie, is about Andrew Weissman. It's a chapter and verse about how unethical this guy is. Why would Robert Mueller, knowing this background, choose this individual?
Because he likes him and trusts him, and that's the kind of activity he wants conducted in this case. That's the only possible reason. The book has been out since 2014. I didn't write this book to help President Trump. I wrote it to sound the alarm because of what I'd seen as a practicing lawyer. I never intended to be an author.
So the bottom line,
what I saw was so egregious, I had to write it.
So basically, you've got Mueller's team covering for Clinton, and that means Comey, you know, writing an exoneration before he investigates the email server scandal, and then persecuting every Trump associate with varying standards of intensity.
All these guys are thick as thieves. They have been together and worked together. They've been friends and allies and partners. Weissman, Rosenstein, Mueller, Comey. It is bewildering to me that the Department of Justice would allow this to unfold, and Congress needs to take action. They need to put a stop to this, and Jeff Sessions in particular needs to stand up and say, in order to restore integrity, I'm stepping in, I'm going to unrecuse myself to reorder this, and then I'll recuse myself again. But he needs to replace Mueller and the team of partisans that Mueller has put together and replace them with people who are fair and impartial.
Rosenstein, who made the appointment because of the recusal of Jeff Sessions, he said he's happy with the way Mueller's conducting this investigation.
What does that tell you? It tells you he's happy with the indictment so far and the guilty pleas. And Rosenstein likely knows that these guys are going after the president to undo the election. So, of course, he's tickled pink that it's going that way.
Sidney, let's talk about the... Go ahead. You go.
Rosenstein, Mueller, Weissman, and Comey go back 20 to 30 years together.
Well, that says a lot. You brought up a case once, and that was the Departmental Disciplinary Committee for the first department, New York, Bronx counties. And there's a whole background about the Enron task force and the Merrill executives and all of the people from Anderson Accounting. Some 85,000 people, I believe, lost their jobs there. What was your involvement in that?
I was co-author of the grievance filed with the New York Bar against Andrew Weissman. Bill Hodes, one of the leading legal ethics experts in the country, took the laboring oar in filing the grievance, and he did it pro bono because we were both so outraged by the prosecutorial misconduct we saw in the Merrill Lynch case.
And what was the outcome of that?
Oh, you're going to love this, Sean. The Department of Justice was defending Mr. Weissman on the grievance because he was Mueller's general counsel at the FBI at the time. The New York Bar, without even telling us, held it for about 4 months, then sent it to Department of Justice Office of Professional Responsibility to decide the grievance. Mm-hmm. So the same entity essentially defending Weissman decided that he had committed no wrong.
Did you see the report this weekend, Greg Jarrett, about Fusion GPS trying to tie Donald Trump through the dossier and other means to this guy Epstein and this Orgy Island mess? Did you see that?
I did see it, yeah.
Scarborough, the Washington Times, has a piece out on it today.
Yeah, look, Fusion GPS and Simpson, who helped fund it through the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, and Christopher Steele. I mean, all of this violates federal criminal statutes. You know, you cannot give money to a foreign national during the course of a political campaign. And why is it that there isn't a Department of Justice investigation into that? I'm hoping that there is, and they're simply keeping it secret.
There's another Department of Justice connection to this whole thing, too, and that's Deputy Assistant Attorney General Bruce Orr, who was recently demoted within the Department of Justice because he had met with and has ties to Fusion GPS and that Trump dossier. And why he wasn't fired instead of demoted is beyond my comprehension.
He had his office four doors down from Rosenstein. Stay right there. We'll continue. Sidney Powell, Greg Jarrett, 800-941. Sean, if you want to be a part of the program. And as we continue, Greg Jarrett and Sidney Powell are with us. All right, so we're both, all three of us seem to agree that there's nothing but a group of, if you talk about Bruce Orr and you talk about Lisa Page and you, Peter Strzok and Jeannie Ray and you talk about all these people and Weissman, straight on down the line, you know, I was watching all weekend and the coverage seems to be, oh, the president's defenders are out there trying to discredit the special counsel. And my argument, Sidney, is he discredited himself by putting in a team of people that are abusively biased.
He did. These are all people with very strong and deep ties to the Clinton campaign. And there is no way anyone can have any confidence in the veracity of what comes out of this investigation the way it's headed.
Here's what I think happened. It led by Peter Strzok, the FBI agent, who you know, apparently made incredibly disparaging remarks about the president and correspondingly supportive comments about Hillary Clinton. He decided that if Hillary Clinton were indicted as she should be for the email scandal and the Espionage Act, she wouldn't be president and Donald Trump would. So he and others set about conjuring out of thin air a way to exonerate her. And they went about and they accomplished it. It made no sense to any lawyer in America, but they did it. And then when she didn't
win. One second. Hold on to the then she didn't win. That now means that we didn't have a fair investigation. So it should start again, shouldn't it?
The statute of limitations has not run yet, and they need to move very quickly to reopen and re-examine the evidence. The evidence is there. A fair-minded lawyer would say, all right, let's give it to a grand jury. So when she didn't win on election night, these same people then decided out of retribution and revenge that they are going to do whatever they can to kick Donald Trump out of office. And if that means manufacturing crimes where crimes don't exist, so be it. And that appears to be what they're doing.
Sidney?
There's irrefutable public proof that Hillary Clinton committed a 1001 violation, which is what they've charged General Flynn with and what they charged Mr. Papadopoulos with. It's in her testimony to Congress where she said there was no classified material on her server. I mean, there are YouTube clips of it that people have tweeted. I mean, its evidence is right there. So there has never been a fair investigation of the Clinton situation, and there's nothing fair about the investigation that's going on now. It's very troubling. I told somebody the other day, we're not just playing whack-a-mole, we're playing whack-a-hydra these days.
Well, how do you untangle this mess, Greg?
Well, I think the only way to do it is to have Attorney General Sessions bring in a new special counsel and a new team of prosecutors free of conflicts of interest who will conduct a fair and unbiased objective investigation. Justice requires it. And you cannot expect Rod Rosenstein, who's already deeply conflicted, to do it. He is the acting attorney general in the Trump-Russia investigation. He needs to be removed. Mueller needs to be removed. Weissman, Jeannie Ray, Aaron Zebley, Peter Strzok has already been removed. Andrew Weissman, all of them need to be
Strzok
removed.
Strzok has only been removed from the investigation. He should be removed from the FBI.
I agree.
All right, I want to thank you both for helping us go where no one else apparently in media wants to go, and that's towards the truth and fighting for equal justice under the law. Thank you, Sidney. We appreciate it. Greg, we'll see you tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern. When we come back, we have Patrick Poole, national correspondent, PJ Media, retired lieutenant with the NYPD. Bill McGrady is with us, and we'll talk about this terror attack that took place earlier at Port Authority in New York City earlier today and what it means for the coming holidays. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue straight ahead.
The new Sean Hannity Show, talking about what's right for America, with a renewed commitment to keep you up to date on the breaking news stories.
The preliminary information from police sources, and I emphasize your world, my former world, preliminary, subject to change. It is a man in his middle 20s, probably, possibly from Bangladesh. Been in the country about 7 years, who supposedly was setting the device off in the name of ISIS. So definitely a terrorist attack, definitely intended. As to whether the device malfunctioned or didn't function correctly, That'll have to be determined. As of the moment, he is apparently the only injured person in terms of from the event. Mm. Possibly others from the noise of the explosion, maybe ear issues. Police have him in custody, talking with him. Again, this information is all preliminary. There will be a significant investigation of the area in question, as you might imagine, that right. bomb squad, et cetera. There will be delays down at the Port Authority throughout most of the day while they conduct that investigation. It wasn't a passageway between the subway system and the Port Authority between 7th and 8th Avenue.
Any evidence that there's an uptick in attempts or...
Most clear evidence that we had the bombing the night after I left my term as commissioner, Jimmy O'Neill's first night in office. We had just several weeks ago the attack along the Hudson, the bikeway, and then we have had this one. That's three attacks, definite terrorist attacks. The pace is quickening, as we have been indicating that it would, that New York continues to remain the focus of interest because of what is happening right now, the intense publicity that anything that happens in New York brings about. And so this is something that we can anticipate. These attacks are going to increase.
Let's be clear, as New Yorkers, our lives revolve around the subways. When we hear of an attack in the subway, it's incredibly unsettling. And let's be also clear, this was an attempted terrorist attack. Thank God the perpetrator did not achieve his ultimate goals. Thank God our first responders were there so quickly to address the situation to make sure people were safe. Thank God the only injuries, as we know at this point, were minor.
These are the preliminary facts. So it just happened a couple hours ago, so you have to understand these are preliminary facts. At approximately 7:20 in a below-ground walkway, which connects the IND line at 42 and 8th Avenue with the IRT line at 42 and 7, the next shuttle at Times Square and the 1, 2, and 3 train, police were called to a reported explosion. Responding units found an injured 27-year-old male. We've identified him as Ikayed Ullah, A-K-A-Y-E-D-U-L-L-A-H. He had burns and wounds to his body. Preliminary investigation at the scene indicates this male was wearing an improvised, low-tech explosive device attached to his body. He intentionally detonated that device. Looks like there are three other people in the immediate area also sustained minor injuries, but Dan Nigro is going to talk about that. The subject was placed in custody and transported to Bellevue Hospital. Immediate police response to the scene included members of the Transit Bureau, Emergency Service Division, Bomb Squad, Counterterrorism, MTA Police, State Troopers, and the FBI's Joint Terrorist Task Force. In addition, the NYPD Strategic Response Group and Critical Response Command were assigned to other key transportation hubs in other locations throughout the city as a precautionary measure. This incident was captured on transit system video. A further review and interview of witnesses is underway. A thorough background investigation into Ikayed Ullah is being conducted by the Joint Terrorist Task Force. We are asking anyone who may have any information about this individual or incident to call the terror hotline, and that's 888-NYC-SAFE.
All right, you heard from Bill Bratton, Comrade Mayor de Blasio of New York, James O'Neill, New York City Police Commissioner, and also saying the Port Authority bomber, who he is, identifying him. There is some background on this. There, the Destroy Trump media insists that today's attack in New York City in the subway system was carried out by a lone wolf and no coordination. How they could jump to these conclusions so fast is always interesting to me. 2 weeks ago, we know that ISIS issued a direct threat to New York City, complete with a graphic of a Santa Claus terrorist bomber staring into Times Square. And for those that don't know the New York geography, the Port Authority subway station where the attack took place, just a few blocks from Times Square as you're leading up to it. And the Daily Mail had pointed out that ISIS fanatics shared the disturbing propaganda image threatening a Christmas time attack on New York City just weeks before this explosion early this morning. A little more background, New York City now has been hit by three successful terrorist attacks since de Blasio ended terrorist surveillance program in New York. Just if anyone's keeping count or whether or not there's any connection, but you have a crude pipe bomb literally strapped to this guy, inspired by ISIS, went off in a crowded subway. This was in a corridor near Times Square, injuring that man, slightly wounding three others, and literally right in the heart of Midtown traffic and subway traffic, which became a big burden for hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers. Bill McGrady is with us, retired lieutenant with the NYPD, worked 10 years in the counterterrorism unit. Patrick Poole is with us, national security correspondent for PJ Media. Thank you both for being with us. Bill, let's talk about what you're gleaning from today's attack.
Sean, it's an honor to be on the radio with you and Patrick again. But it's also sad at the same point that here we are less than 2 months later talking about another attack that happened in New York City. And it's my belief, or my personal belief, this is as a direct result of the policies put in place by this mayor that we have in charge now. I mean, we have a person able to build this bomb by himself, or if maybe coordinated with other people, unknown at this time, and then walk in rush hour traffic, and thank God that this bomb was either poorly constructed or he didn't detonate it right, and thank God that nobody was severely injured.
Well, it can be a lot worse. You know, they do have, you know, materials out there, and years ago I actually did a show on it in a Hannity and Combs Day on days in Fox News, and it's called The Anarchist Cookbook. And it gives you a play-by-play on how to do all of this. I mean, so yeah. It's not a surprise, Patrick Poole, that, you know, people have the information because it's all over the Internet if you want to get at it.
Sean, absolutely. And you recall here several years ago, one of the Al-Qaeda magazines put out, you know, how to build a bomb in your mom's kitchen. So this information's proliferated out there. And they've grown more proficient in how they build explosives. Bill said, you know, just thank God that, the recipe or whatever they were using, that it wasn't successful, because just even watching the video of the incident, there could have been a lot of people killed.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Now it raises questions. I'm a big believer in the First Amendment and freedom of speech. What about people? And the thing that frustrates me is we almost always go back after somebody's involved in an incident and we can find out that they were telegraphing via social media loudly what their intentions and beliefs are. So I don't think there's enough, you know, Lieutenant, I don't think there's enough monitoring of social media in the lead up to these things. We haven't gotten much yet, but we will be getting information about this guy. But then it's like, okay, should people be allowed to share information on how to build suicide bombs on the Internet, or is that a violation of free speech?
Well, I personally don't believe they should be able to share this information. But if it falls in the realm of free speech, then what we have to do is, and I hate to be cliche about it, but, you know, the police department has not taken a proactive stance as it relates to these individuals since de Blasio was taken office. They've taken a step back. They're afraid to do the things that they do. The way you need to find these people, and Patrick, I guess you can agree with me on this, is you need sources out there giving you information, looking for indicators on these people when they change, and you also need investigators looking in these chat rooms and these social media areas to try to pick up on certain things or indicators that are going to lead you to these people so you can investigate them. And it's not being done as aggressively as it should be in today's age, and it's sad. It really is sad.
I mean, I think if nothing else, I think we should be able to monitor, and I think as a result of monitoring, I mean, this is all public what we're talking about, and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever other social media people are using. And I think that I think there ought to be a certain way to mark, you know, those people or identify those people that are involved in talk that seems to sympathize with these radical views. And I don't think we do enough of it.
No, it's the same as if you would open up a regular criminal case on somebody. If somebody's actions are doing, they're acting as if they're doing something criminal, you open a case and you investigate it. It should be the same way that it should be done with them on social media. If they're talking about it or indicating that they're showing allegiance to ISIS or showing interest in producing these bombs, then they should be looked at thoroughly through the Internet and physically through human sources. And how many times are we going to have to sit back and hear, we responded to this, we responded to that? We shouldn't be responding, because if we respond to these incidents, that means we failed at our job of trying to find them out before they commit these acts.
Well, I think that has to be job one for everybody. And you got to imagine during certain times of the year that, you know, the threat is greater than others. I am not confident, though. You know, the one good thing that I was reading today is even our own generals, now that the handcuffs have been taken off of them, you know, remember, the rules of engagement by Obama were so restricting that, you know, literally they'd have to be, you know, 20 yards away shooting at your head for you to have the ability to defend yourself. But we've been able to degrade ISIS at a very rapid pace that we'd never seen before because we're letting the generals and the people on the ground do their job instead of managing them from Washington.
Oh, absolutely. And what's happening is we're winning on the ground overseas in the Middle East. But what's happening now is, and this lone wolf term is kind of old, because we're winning on the battleground, but they're pushing their ideology over the internet, and kids are sitting at home, young individuals, either playing video games and radicalizing themselves through these chat rooms, social media, video games, and they, even though there's no command and control center that's pushing these people out, there's still a group that has to be dealt with as almost an army of individuals radicalizing themselves.
Yeah. Patrick?
Well, Bill's old unit was taking a lot of these proactive measures, and in fact, they produced a report on radicalization in 2007, I believe, which ended up getting withdrawn because of pressure from groups like Council on American Relations and these other groups who didn't want these proactive measures taken. And Bill's absolutely right. These attacks, you know, last year in New York and New Jersey, the Pathway attack here on Halloween, and then today, I think that these are reflections of the fact that we've lost the initiative at the very same moment that the tempo of these attacks is increasing rapidly.
All right, stay right there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And retired lieutenant with the NYPD, Bill McGrory, is with us. Also, Patrick Poole, PJ Media. He's their national security correspondent. And as we continue, after a terror attack on this guy in the New York City subway system at Times Square, the subway station, 7:20 this morning, we have Bill McGrory with us, retired lieutenant NYPD, 10 years in the counterterrorism unit, Patrick Poole, national security correspondent. There seems to be this lack of desire to take on the enemy the way they need to be taken on. I mean, Patrick, and I think the answer is if we don't get more preemptive, if we don't get more engaged earlier, then we're just, one by one, these attacks are just going to continue one right after another, and it's not going to stop.
Absolutely. You know, as you know, going back to Sun Tzu, one of the things you have to do is you have to break the will of the enemy. And, you know, Sun Tzu said, you know, these things are won in the temples before they're even fought. And here, you know, we have this discourse in our media talking about how basically we're to blame for a lot of this stuff. We've brought this on ourselves. And it's, you know, no surprise that in some respects they're winning. Yes, I mean, we've degraded ISIS in Syria, in Iraq. But let's not forget that the precursor to ISIS, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, when George Bush left office, there were 30 members. And within a few years, they had reconstituted and taken over a third of the northern part of Iraq and major parts of Syria. So I'm a little bit cautious about, you know, declaring the war over, as some of our generals have done here over the weekend. I think we're going to see them adapt, and they can reconstitute as a conventional force again.
Last word, Lieutenant.
I think the more that you bring it out, Sean, that we need to be proactive and put the word out there to put pressure on de Blasio. The two biggest things that hurt this city the most was the article, the AP article that Mattapuzzo put out that Patrick talked about, and this mayor has definitely done a disservice to this city, definitely.
All right, I want to thank you both for being with us. Unbelievable. 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. So how bad and how corrupt and how dishonest and how dangerous is the news media in this country? Well, we'll get to that when we come back. Also, your calls, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number, Hannity Tonight, 9 Eastern. I'll tell you about the great show we have coming up and much more straight ahead.
He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He's prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians.
And David, a clarification tonight on something one of Flynn's confidants told us, and we reported earlier today. He said the president had asked Flynn to contact Russia during the campaign. He's now clarifying that, saying, according to Flynn, candidate Trump asked him during the campaign to find ways to repair relations with Russia and other hotspots. And then after the election, the president-elect asked him to, and told him to contact Russia on issues, including working together to fight ISIS.
Original contact with Fusion GPS was from with a Republican who asked for
That's not been confirmed.
About,
no. That's not been confirmed. So
yes,
there's been no confirmation from Fusion GPS.
It was asked who it was to show us records.
No. That's not been confirmed.
Well, you didn't listen
they made
to
the
allegation. President. President Trump himself the other day said, yes, he thinks he knows
he's
who that Republican. The president says he thinks he knows who that Republican is. He's not releasing the name. He repeatedly says he thinks he knows. He's confirmed that the original contact with Fusion GPS was with a Republican later after the president got the nomination.
This is CNN.
All right, more fake news. Glad you're with us. It is the final hour free-for-all. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of this half hour. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. Joe Concha, who writes for The Hill, he is their media writer. He's probably one of the few media writers in the country that doesn't, you know, doesn't hang out in the same circle of sycophantic left-wingers that want to be part of the Destroy Trump media cabal. He's not in it. And I guess for those reasons, he's probably not particularly liked by some of those people. But he writes in his new column, media's botched Trump attacks are a reckless attempt to undermine the administration. And he talks about what happened when the Flynn testimony came out and they reported that that former National Security Advisor, General Michael Flynn, was prepared to testify that President Trump, while a candidate, directed him to contact Russian officials. Well, then again, the Brian Ross report got retracted later in the day. A clarification was forthcoming that the direction came when Trump was the president-elect. A big distinction, which would mean he's telling his National Security Advisor to reach out to his counterpart to be in Russia. Smart thing to do. And we had the Deutsche Bank debacle by Reuters and Bloomberg, both reporting the special counsel had subpoenaed bank information and records relating to President Trump and his family members. You know, the Wall Street Journal ended up defusing that bombshell. They did a follow-up report saying that the subpoenas, in fact, never existed, never happened. And whatever ones were out there dealt with people or entities close to Trump, but not as reported. A big, big distinction. And then you've got fake news CNN reporting that senior Trump campaign officials, including Trump himself, on September 4th, they got an email, unknown sender, and it was giving them a specific link for information that hadn't been released on WikiLeaks. Well, they had to withdraw that lie as well and say, oopsie daisy, it was the 14th. And a lot of oopsie daisying going on out there. Joe Concha's with us. You say the past 2 weeks were the worst ever for American political media, and thanks to a rush to be first, that easily trumped the priority of being accurate.
That is correct. We use so much hyperbole in this business. You host people all the time. There's a lot of exaggeration, and there's not you, but I'm just saying in general, we over-exaggerate things to draw attention to ourselves. I don't like saying things like that, but this was. I mean, think about it. ABC with Brian Ross, he's suspended for 4 weeks. Bloomberg and Reuters, like you talked about. Not just CNN last week, but somehow CBS and NBC confirmed their report. Who did you confirm it with? Probably, Sean, the same source that bought CNN that information, went to CBS, and went to NBC. And that's why I say you got to burn that source.
Okay, but the point is this, though. There is a certain breathlessness to all of this reporting. There's a certain atmosphere that I argue has taken place in media today, and that is that, you know, every time there's a new thing, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. Well, we don't have any evidence of Trump-Russia collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Manafort indictment isn't about Trump-Russia collusion, nor is, you know, admitting to the FBI that you didn't tell the entire truth when they interviewed you and you didn't even know they were interviewing you for a legal matter.
That was post-election, right?
That's
so
correct.
If we're investigating collusion during the campaign, why is everything I'm seeing after President Trump was elected? It's gone off the rails. But yeah, all these stories have three things in common. One, they're all based on unnamed sources. Two, they're all based on Russia. And three, and I'm gonna be like a Rick Perry here for a second. I'm gonna forget the third. I forgot the third. But the point is that. Oh, that's I'm sorry. I got it.
You got it back?
I got it back.
Isn't this amazing how the brain works? Yeah. I lost it. I got it. I lost it. Let me go back in my computer. Go ahead. What is it?
They're all negative towards the Trump administration. I would ask anybody out there, can you remember the last time positive information was leaked about this administration? Or can you remember the last time there were so many negative stories about the Obama administration?
No.
Where everybody got it wrong and, ooh, it's just a mistake. It's like I wrote. It's a rush to be first instead of to be accurate. It's quantity over quality. And the problem is, outside of Brian Ross, I don't see any accountability. CNN reporter, he's a good reporter, admittedly. He hasn't made too many mistakes, but there's still got to be something that you do to reprimand in this situation. But they said, no, he followed our editorial standards. Here's, what were those exactly?
It's what they report, and it's also what they don't report that is bias. For example, a big narrative this weekend where people like me we're attacking the special counsel because the special counsel is getting close to getting Donald Trump. Well, I'm pointing out, and I think any Democrat, if they're going to have any intellectual honesty in their heart, mind, and soul, would agree with this. And that is that if we had a special counsel, and it was a Democratic president, and the special counsel only hired Republican donors, no Democratic donors, to do the investigation, if they hired people that had been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court in an obstruction of justice case, that means everybody was innocent. 85,000 people lost their jobs at Anderson Accounting, and four Merrill executives went to jail because of Weissman. It was proven that Weissman also held back exculpatory evidence. He's been using and known to use tactics that are extremely unethical. Just look at what happened to Paul Manafort's, home being raided and his wife being frisked.
And did he go to the Clinton election night party?
He did. He went to the Javits Center to celebrate with Hillary her great, loss. Yes.
Shouldn't that be an automatic disqualification?
Yes,
from being
it should.
A part of this investigation?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, where's the media discussing the things that I discuss? Where are they discussing Comey exonerating before Comey investigates? Where are they investigating this team that Mueller has put together?
They're too busy putting out photos of Donald Trump's rally on Friday night in Florida, which was supposed to show an empty arena. And think of the logic here. And that was Dave Weigel from The Washington Post. Think of the logic here. Do you really think that if Trump held a rally that no one would show up? I mean, that's one thing. And two, he just throws the picture out of there with snark. Everything has to come with snark. If you're going to report something, you want to show an empty arena and you get the picture wrong, that's one thing. But Weigel puts out and packed to the rafters because, like you said, I don't have a lot of friends in this business. I'm like, you ever see Die Hard 2?
Yeah.
With Bruce Willis, and he's on the plane. He's fighting John Amos. He was from Good Times. Mm-hmm. And Amos goes, shame I have to kill you, McClane. I was just starting to like you. And then Bruce Willis, before throwing him off the plane and him landing in the propeller, says, I got enough friends. And he kicks him in the face. I got enough friends. I don't need to have any friends in this business. And that's the problem now, that we have too many people here that just want the adulation of their peers instead of informing their readers and their viewers. And that's a big problem, and it's not going to go away.
Well, they want to take down this president. Is there any doubt in your mind that they work every day and their whole obsession is to take down Donald Trump?
Not my mind. I read a lot of studies and a lot of polls and a lot of analysis. And the bottom line is that 60% of Trump supporters believe that they agree with him, what he said in February, that the press is the enemy of the people. Half of voters overall, forget Republicans, feel that the press is fabricating stories about the administration. Forget misreporting mistakes. They're actually making stuff up. And the reason why they believe that is because of this complete and utter reliance on unnamed sources. And as we saw with the CNN report with WikiLeaks and Don Jr., what happened there is exactly why that source needs to be burned, because that was a political operative or even a lawmaker that was in that room when he was testifying before that Democratic Intelligence Committee. So if that person's feeding bad information, he needs to be exposed. And I don't care if it's a congressman or not.
Think of all that they don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the fact that the Fourth Amendment has been stomped upon and is basically being shredded with surveillance, not minimizing, unmasking, leaking intelligence. All the information they got on General Flynn was obtained illegally. That's point number one. Who are the deep state leakers? There was a leak a day for the first 130 days of the Trump administration. Then you've got, I'd like to know why Samantha Powers, as a UN ambassador, would ever leak basically a person a day, or Ben Rhodes or Susan Rice or any of the other people. Those things need to be investigated. Hillary Clinton was exonerated on her email server scandal as a means of helping her get elected by James Comey and by Peter Strzok. Where are the investigations into that? Look, you know, or the team that we have. You want to look at collusion? I see plenty of Russia collusion. That would be the Trump dossier, full of Russian lies and propaganda paid for by Hillary to influence the election. That sounds like collusion to me, Joe.
That was complete collusion. I'm surprised that doesn't get more. I'm not surprised it doesn't.
No, I feel like I'm the only one shouting this from the wilderness, and all I get is, well, you're number one in cable news, but who cares about the rest of it? There's a lot of times Hannity's ahead of the curve and we'll never get credit.
David Frum, he was on a show this weekend, ironically called Reliable Sources in this context. And David Frum's a conservative, or at least that's how he was presented, but he's completely anti-Trump. And here's what he said when asked, what advice would you have for people that don't trust the media anymore? He says, well, and this is quoting, the mistakes are precisely the reason people should trust the media. Astronomers made mistakes all the time because science is a process of discovery of truth. Astrologers never make mistakes, or at least they never own up to them, because they are offering a closed system of ideology and propaganda. In other words, you should trust the media because they keep presenting false or misleading information. That's actually the argument. That's not even jumping the shark. You're going over the whole ocean with that comment.
All right, more with Joe Concha, media writer for The Hill. 800-941-SHAWN is our number.
There is no way for Donald Trump to get 270. We heard that for week after week. What they're doing is the fake news. It's called suppression. Just like they give the fake polls. I call it fake news, fake polls. A poll came out today on CNN. Such a fake. A poll came out. They'll have to apologize for that one. Another one came out that was through the roof, but it wasn't on CNN. But I will tell you, look, we need honesty. We need some love in the country. I'd love to bring both sides together if that's possible. There's a lot of hatred out there, but I would love to be able to bring both sides together.
All right, there's the president. You know, I think the funniest moments the president has on the campaign trail, or when he's out giving a speech somewhere or whatever, a rally of some kind, when he points to all the media in the back, Joe Concha's with us from The Hill, and he goes, you see them? They're all fake news. These people have come to hate him.
What did you think of that rally on Friday night? Did you seem like he had a lot of energy, a lot of spunk?
Yeah, he seemed like he was tired. I thought it was. I love every minute of it.
No, that can't be right, because on Morning Joe on Friday, Steve Schmidt, the former McCain presidential manager, said that the president clearly had a physical impairment based on one speech about Jerusalem, where at the end he got a little dry mouth, and we've all been there, or maybe he had a little trouble with his teeth. I don't know. Who cares? But to jump, this is what I mean about recklessness in media, that you can't just sit there in a studio in New York commenting on a speech that happened in Washington based on what you saw on television and suddenly become, my wife's a doctor, and she went to school for many years to get where she is now. You can't sit there in the middle of a studio and say, oh, you know what? I just watched that speech, and I've come to the conclusion that our president has a physical impairment, like as if he's like having a stroke. It is ridiculous. Did Schmidt apologize today? No. Willie on Twitter? No. That's the thing. There's never any accountability, and that's why this is going to keep happening over and over again, because management doesn't do the right thing they should do with people that make reckless comments that have no business being in the public dialogue.
You know, it really is sad that I said in 2007 and 8, when I was vetting Obama, nobody else would. I said, journalism's dead. They never vetted him. Even this campaign year, we have 8 years of Obama's record we could go over, an abysmal failure. I repeated it every day and every night. I did because somebody needed to do it. Somebody needed to talk about Ayers and Dorn and Reverend Wright and the Church of GD America and Alinsky and Acorn and Frank Marshall Davis. There weren't many other people besides me. And even some friends of mine said I was probably going to ruin my career because I was going too deep into my vetting of Obama.
You really have to work on your confidence more. We've talked about this.
Not about my confidence. It's a matter of, you know, what's right is right. I mean, we're right so often, and they're wrong so often, and I'm the one that gets beaten up all the time.
You get beaten up, but you have the most viewers, right? People are listening.
So cry me a river. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Too bad for you, Hannity. Like I'm supposed to care?
When Bill Clinton left office, he had something like a 70% approval rating. And the reason why was because only ABC, NBC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times were your options as far as getting news. Fox was in his infancy. It was still up and coming. Now there's at least a balance where you have Fox News and you have online conservative media and other voices are being heard. And that's why those particular outlets are so successful, because half the American people just weren't liking where they're being fed. And now at least they have that option. So you say you're not being heard. No, you're being heard completely. You're just not being accepted by the rest of the media. But the good news is, if you're you, not a lot of people are accepting the media now either, because remember, I think I've cited this stat for you before. Before the election, The Hill compiled all endorsements of the two candidates across the country. And we narrowed it down to 59 major papers, and 57 went to Hillary Clinton, 2 to Donald Trump. You know what that got her, Sean? That got her an acceptance speech. So we could talk about the media and how reckless they are. But the thing is, their influence is 1/10 of what it used to be, because they keep getting things wrong.
All right. I got to let you go. Joe Concha.
Thank God.
Well, why don't I even invite you if you're going to be such a curmudgeon on my show? Jeez.
Well, I'm in my 40s now.
I'm in my 40s? Yeah.
Old.
Wow.
Curmudgeon. Yep.
All right, Joe Concha, thank you. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. We'll hit the phones when we get back. Glad you're with us. All right, if you missed the president's speech on Friday night, it was pretty amazing. We're going to play a few highlights here, and I want you to listen to all this, especially in light of the media criticism that came out last week about the president. Oh, he's slurring. Oh, he's got the early signs of dementia. I can't believe the media gets away with this crap. But you decide for yourself. We'll play it for you.
So tonight we're going to speak straight to the American people and cut right through the fake news media. Right through. Right through. Right through. We're going to speak the plain truth and really the truth that you just want to hear. You have to hear. They don't want to hear. But, and by the way, did you see all the corrections the media's been making? They're saying, sorry, they've been doing that all year. They never apologize. Maybe that comes with being the president. I don't know. I don't know. They've been apologizing left and right. They took this fraudster from ABC. They suspended him for a month. They should have fired him for what he wrote. He drove the stock market down 350 points in minutes, which, by the way, tells you they really like me, right? When you think of it. And you know what he cost people? And I said to everybody, get yourself a lawyer and sue ABC News. Sue him. And then CNN apologized just a little while ago. They apologized. Oh, thank you, CNN. Thank you so much. You should have been apologizing for the last 2 years. Total unemployment is now at a 17-year low. Think of that. Not bad. Not bad after 10 months. It's only going to get better. Listen to this one. This is, to me, maybe one of the most important, because it's all psychological to a large extent, and that's what creates greatness. Consumer confidence is at a 17-year high. Think of that. It was not like that in your last administration. Economic growth last quarter surged to 3.3%. You know it. You know where it was, right? When we started, you know where it was? Dingo. 3.3%, and it's going a lot higher. You know, I used to hear you'll never hit 3, you'll never hit 2.5. You figure maybe 2.3, 2.4. If we didn't have the hurricanes last quarter, we would have hit 4%, and everybody back there would have said that's impossible. The stock market is hitting an all-time high record for another, and think of this, 86 times since Election Day. 86 times it hit a record. 86 times. And we're going to keep it going. And then you look at all of the money you folks are making. Oh, I wish I could take 10 or 15%, but I think you're not going to do that. Yeah? You're not going to do that. But it's getting better and better. Your pensions are getting bigger and bigger. Your pension funds, all of those things are happening. Oh, these resistors resist. Hillary resisted, and you know what happened? She lost the election in a landslide. But you know what they're really resisting? They're resisting the will of the American people. That's what they're resisting. Look, it's being proven we have a rigged system. Doesn't happen so easy. But this system, it'll be a lot of changes. This is a rigged system. This is a sick system from the inside. And, you know, there's no country like our country, but we have a lot of sickness in some of our institutions, and we're working very hard. We've got a lot of them straightened out, but we have a rigged system in this country, and we have to change it. Terrible. Terrible. They're resisting progress. They're resisting change because the only thing they really care about is protecting what they've been able to do, which is really control the country and not to your benefit. By the way, wages starting to go up. First time in 20 years starting to go up. That's all going to happen. You know, I don't get credit for one thing. It always bothered me. I spent a tiny fraction of what she spent and we won. You know, in the old days, if you spend less and you win, that's a good thing. Over here, you don't get any credit for it. We spent 25 or 30%. She was at, what number? $2.2 billion, I understand. $2.2 billion. Do you think those consultants made a couple of bucks on that election? Didn't she spend $12.4 million on a dossier that was a total phony? Right? $12.4 million? So we spent a tiny fraction, think of it, a tiny fraction of the money, and we won. But we won because of people like you. I took this job on behalf of the forgotten men and women of our country. But guess what? They are forgotten no more. No more. People came out of areas, you know, they didn't think you existed. You know that, right? Remember? And you remember the word deplorable? How brilliant was that? I was watching her with that speech, and she was reading a teleprompter yet. And she said, deplorables. And I said, huh, that's not nice. She's talking about a lot of people. Little did I know I was right. That thing blew up. That was one of the reasons she lost. And now we're all proud deplorables. We're proud deplorables. Very proud. Your voice will never, ever be ignored again. They're all going to be coming after you for every election from now on in this country. You will never be ignored again. Your dreams are my dreams. Your hopes are my hopes. And your future is what I'm fighting for each and every day. We're just getting started.
All right, let's get to our busy telephones here. As we say hi to Joe, he's in Boca Raton in Florida. What's up, Joe? How are you? Glad you called, sir.
Hey, Sean. Pleasure to speak to you. And congratulations on your good work keeping everybody informed about this terrible coup that they're trying to put on us.
There's no doubt this is what they're trying to do. No doubt they want to take this president down. No doubt they want to overturn a duly elected president and an election.
And that is treason and sedition by doing these things. And we need to get Jeff Sessions on board to get these people under oath and subpoenaed and flip some of them, do their same tactic, you know, that the prosecutor would do, and get to the root of it and charge them. And get them charged with crimes.
I believe a lot of crimes were committed. I lay them out. The fact that the media ignores all that we put out on a daily basis is criminal neglect on their part. They literally have no credibility left, and they get every single thing that they touch basically now wrong. We live in the world of phony NBC and ABC and CBS and fake news, CNN conspiracy theories. And there's a lot of us out here now that have gotten very, very close to truth that I'm only telling you because I know more than I can say at this point that will validate all of the work we have been doing this year and last year. And I'm very confident that they are more wrong than they ever knew and that there's no way that they can now undo the damage they have done.
It's so ironic, Sean, that this boomerang is coming back at them.
Well, it is a great irony, and frankly, they deserve it to whack them up the side of their head.
Exactly.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Jordan in Valdosta in Georgia. Jordan, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
I'm doing just fine, Sean. I just wanted to ring in on something that's being extremely, extremely overlooked here by the media and by a lot of people. As a Jewish American, it's a big stigma to say that, you know, you are a liberal or you're a Democrat. You're going with Hillary or you're going with Obama, which most of us do. And that's a pretty accurate statement. Now, these days, we got something really big in history to happen with Donald Trump declaring that the embassy is finally going to get moved to Jerusalem. This is a promise made in 1995 by Bill Clinton. And it's just been passed. The buck has been passed all the way up until Donald Trump finally followed through. Now, you're not hearing a lot of it on the CNN or on the MSNBC, mainly because they don't want to give the boon to Donald Trump that he's done something significant. But so many of the American Jewish population are taking a look at this, and they're taking stock in what the you know, what the liberal left has done for us, and what the you know, what the Democratic Party has done for us, and what Donald Trump has done for us.
You know, I think all across the board, though, that's true, too, because I know a lot of Jewish Americans, historically, they vote Democratic. I don't think there's been a president that has been more brave, that has done more for our closest ally in the Middle East, Israel, than this president. And what he did, well, we will look back through Israel's history. This is a defining moment, like the, you know, 47-48 UN partition plan. This defines that state at this point. And Ben-Gurion becomes the prime minister. This is a historic thing this president did. And so many others promised and wouldn't do it, didn't have the courage to do it. But that's the same with a lot of his other promises. This president's really, you know, been clicking them off one after another. And I feel at times I'm the only one that'll ever discuss exactly what his record is and what his promises were and keep it in check. You know, just like Democrats will never face the reality of how bad Obama's presidency was. They don't have the intellectual honesty and capacity and the willingness to do it. Maybe it's too hard for them to realize everything they bought into, hope and change, and yes, we can, was a total failure. Maybe their egos would be far too bruised to face that hard truth. I don't know. Roseanne is in New Hampshire. Roseanne, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine, Sean. How you doing? Love your show.
Love Fox.
Thank you. Thank God for you people, let me tell you.
Thank you.
You know, I had a quick question. If the cops broke into my house without a warrant and we were doing something illegal here, they can't use that evidence in a court of law to indict or convict me. If the FISA warrant was issued on a phony dossier that should be illegal, it's worked. Basically, you go to the judge and ask for a warrant to so-called wiretap. If that was based on something phony and illegal, how can any information discovered from that, any evidence, be used to convict anyone? It should make this whole Mueller investigation null and void.
Let me tell you something. This investigation needs to be null and void for various reasons. Number one, there never was. We've had a year of Trump-Russian collusion, and the only thing we ever discovered was the only person that colluded with Russia was Hillary Clinton, you know, with the help of Fusion GPS and an MI6 agent. They're the ones that paid for fake, phony, Russian, salacious lies and propaganda, all in an effort to swing an election their way. We found Russian collusion. We found it, and Hillary bought and paid for it. Not that anybody seems to care. We also found collusion and corruption as it relates to an investigation into Hillary, her giving a pass so that she could run on to become the president of the United States, or so they thought when they wrote her exoneration, James Comey and Peter Strzok and all these other people. You know, there was never a real investigation. That's why I'd sit there every night and say, okay, 33,000 emails deleted, bleach bit, acid wash, breaking up, busting up with hammers. Those are crimes, every one of them. You know, putting top secret classified special access information on a mom and pop shop bathroom closet server. That's mishandling classified information. That's a felony. And then destroying classified information. Similarly, a felony. And bleach bit, a felony. And breaking with hammers devices, felony. That's called obstruction. And that's only the tip of the iceberg with them. You know, we have the case set and ready to go.
And if Sessions doesn't come up by the end of January with some indictments or arrest warrants, he should be fired. This is with the evidence out there, it's irrefutable. Absolutely. And they all got to pay the piper. And I hope Devin Nunes gets the warrant to see if FISA was used with the illegal document, if that's what they used to get the FISA warrant. If that's the case.
Well, we're going to find out very soon. And I believe it very likely was the case, as Jim Jordan made a great case the other day on that, last week on that. Anyway, thank you, Roseanne. Appreciate the call. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We got an amazing Hannity tonight. America's information crisis, fake news crisis, what the president calls a stain on America. We have Sean Spicer is going to check in. That's my opening monologue, among other things. The terror attack in New York. We'll get the very latest with Ed Henry and Sebastian Gorka weigh in. Again, we'll have the very latest on Mueller's partisan team of Democrats and Trump haters. Dan Bongino, Austin Goolsbee. That's tonight. Set your DVR, Hannity, on the Fox News Channel. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight at 9.